All right, guys, really quickly, if you guys just give me a little bit of time, I promise you, I really believe in my heart that each and every one of us can leave changed in a way that we could just see the world in a different way. Not because I'm so great, because I'm not, but because that's how good God is. And you guys have made the decision to come into God's house. You know, sometimes we can feel it as a sacrifice to give up maybe another plan or something else that we were doing. And God will honor your time. So welcome. Like you said, my name is Antonio, Tony, Tone, whatever. As long as it's not, you know, crazy, then I'm cool with it. But I'm always privileged to come up here and share the word of God with you. We are in the last part of our series, or part three of a series that we've been doing called The Blueprint, which is God's master plan. So that's always a cool thing. The cool thing, you know, we have this cool thing on stage, you know, give it up for the interns and for the team that put some cool stuff on the stage to kind of go with the theme. You know, it's kind of cool because my wife and I, we recently purchased a home, our first home in our name, amen. And it was just kind of cool leading up to it. I mean, because this was a long journey, man. This was a journey that, you know, it's not like the days when you could just find a house, 30-day escrow, you're in, right? This was a long time coming. Our escrow was like 60 days. And then even after escrow closed, we had to give them like 3 days to move out. And it was just a long time. But leading up to it, it was kind of cool because we started watching DIY Channel. Anybody watch DIY? HGTV? All these cool shows. So we were just getting really hyped moving into the house. Like, we had all these ideas. I was just constantly watching all these renovation shows, getting all kinds of cool ideas that we could do once we got in the house. There was one, you know, Property Brothers. Anybody Property Brothers? What else? We got Home Crashers. Well, Home Crashers is one of my favorite. In Home Crashers, the premise is there's this guy. He's a contractor. And he'll go to like a Lowe's or something like that, a home improvement store. And usually like in Minnesota or something crazy. There are some in California, but that's Bath Crashers in Minnesota because they all say Minnesota. That's how I know they're in Minnesota. I was born in Minnesota, actually, but it's kind of just cool. Like, there's snow year-round there, it seemed like. But anyway, so there's this guy. They go to like the Lowe's, and they're just finding people that are walking around buying random stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's reality TV, so you know it's not reality at all. So it's all staged. But they're just walking through the aisles, and these guys randomly run into this guy, and they're going to, oh, what are you guys buying? Well, I'm buying a lamp for my house. Oh, can I fix your bathroom? Like, what? And so that's what this guy is doing. He's kind of running into people with a house, and they can do home improvement. So they pick the family. They always show, like, a couple of funny stories of, oh, yeah, no, you're not the guy. Or people that knew they were going to be there, like who the guy was. Oh, yeah, I recognize you. Come fix my house. Like, nah. But anyways, so he's there. They go back to, like, hey, can I follow you to your house? And they're like, sure. You know, he's like, well, if I follow to your house, I'm going to give you a free upgrade on your bathroom or your room, and it'll be free, completely free. We'll build it out for you. So they go, okay, cool. So they follow him to the house. They go to their house, and the contractor walks in. They take him to the bad part of their house that they want to get fixed, or the bathroom or whatever it might be. And the contractor walks in and is looking at it, goes, okay, cool. What kind of styles do you like? What do you want in your house? What kind of tries to get their style so it'll go with their home. They're going to hook up their house with the brand new bathroom. So that's what they do. Like, all right, so we're going to be back tomorrow. And all we got to do is we got to just get you and your loved ones and get a team of workers. And we're going to build you a new dream bathroom. Cool. So come back the next day. Hey, how you guys doing? And then there's this big moment when they bust out the plan, right? They bust out the plan of what they're going to do in the house. So they go, all right, ready? And then this big reveal thing. And they show out the thing and everyone's like, oh my gosh. Cause it's like, brand new bathrooms. They're going to knock down this wall. We're going to build a window here. And we're going to put in that shower with like 10 geysers coming at you. And it feels like Niagara's just all over you. And then you're just going to like shoot on the sides. And we'll walk in bathroom over here. And we're going to do this, this, and that. And it's like the plans are so cool. They're always like out of this world, right? So it's awesome. I'm getting excited. Just, I would always get so excited watching House Crashers. Really, like, it's just like crazy. Really, though? Like, DIY is the channel. ESPN's a close... Well, they're tied, okay? But between DIY and ESPN, I was on lock there. But anyways, going back to DIY. So they show the families. They're like, all right, cool. They start knocking things down. They get the sledgehammers. They get the chainsaws. And they start to go. And boom, get the sledgehammers knocking down the wall. All of a sudden you hear, uh-oh. And they're like, cut to commercial, right? And they always like give you, you know how they always give you the clips of what's coming up after the commercial? It's just like, okay, right? And like, there was something, ran into a problem that's just so devastating that's going to derail the whole plan. Well, The Blueprint Part 3. That's where we pick up. The last couple weeks, guys, we've been talking about plans for our life. We've been talking about how to make a plan, how to write it down and understand how to make a plan. We've been talking about how we can learn God's plan for our life. Well, tonight what we're going to talk about, what we're really going to focus on is how to continue and follow up with that plan. How we can know how to write it. We know that we need to follow God's plan. And how to follow up is what we're going to talk about when we have that uh-oh moment. Is that okay with everybody? So tonight we're talking about planning realities. There's another show on DIY called what's called Renovation Realities, which is all about like the realities of renovation. Because everything's not like House Crashers. Everything's perfect on House Crashers. And then when you try to do it yourself, it's not perfect. Anybody there? Anybody try to renovate before and have it fail miserably? Anyways, so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're just looking at a few realities that happen when we're working our plans, the plan that we have, and life happens. We have that busted pipe, so to speak. So they go in there with the sledgehammers, right? And they're knocking down the wall, and there's this pipe that's just in the way that where they were going to put the shower. That pipe doesn't go there, and oh my gosh, the people who built this house were crazy. I can't believe they ever did that. Or there's termites here, so this is going to happen over here. And so there's just that uh-oh moment. So we're going to talk about how to push through the plans that we know that God has given us and the plans that we desire. Does life ever happen to anybody? When you it just didn't go the way that you thought it was going to go, the way that you wanted it to go, when you find that busted pipe, so to speak, or those termites, and all of a sudden you go, I mean, I don't know, maybe a family divorce, or a death in the family, a car accident, or maybe you got pregnant, you got someone pregnant, just something that just can technically just derail what you had in mind, everything that you had planned for your life. Well, we're going to talk about how to push through those, because I don't think anyone ever gets from point A to point B when you're walking with God by just going in a straight line. Amen? Anyone got a witness in here? All right, so we're going to talk about to live out God's plan, we must realize. There's a few things we got to realize in preparing, in our planning realities. There's a few things we must realize when we're working with God. And number one is there's no surprise in God. God is not surprised. So there's no uh-oh moment with God. God isn't digging into your life. You're not living your life. And you come across your busted pipe in the middle where you were really going to do this, where you were going to become a doctor, where you were going to become a professional athlete. And God takes off the drywall and finds a leak, and it just devastates God. God is not, like Pastor Deborah always says, God is not in therapy over your sins, over your mistakes, over your shortcomings. God is not surprised when he sees these things. I think a lot of times, especially as young adults, we can think that, oh my gosh, we fell short. It just derails our whole plan. My whole life has to be changed. And God's just surprised. I'm not worthy enough for God. Well, the reality is none of us are worthy enough for God. But that's not why God loves us. That's not why God has a plan for us, because we're worthy enough. You know, our works don't make us, you know, we see someone, oh, Pastor Joseph, he's a pastor. He just must do everything so perfectly. And that's why God has a plan for me. I didn't do everything the way he did. Or I don't do everything the way my other Christian family members or people do. The reality is it's not our works that make us worthy of God's plan for our life. Amen? I thank God that it's not something that I can do that makes me worthy of a plan, because the only plan that I'm worthy of is, you know what, it's hell. It's the sins that I have are only punishable by hell. That's each and every one of us. Our sin is the reality, the consequences for our sin is death. But because of God, because of Jesus, that's not how it has to be. All right? Is that good? So God's not surprised. Let's go ahead and look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. A very common, popular verse. We're going to look at it tonight. Jeremiah 1, verse number 5. Say amen if you're there. All right. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, this is a prophecy over Jeremiah. Now, we're not Jeremiah, but the same goes to us today in that God knew you. God knew you'd be sitting here tonight. He knew you'd have the baggage that you have tonight. He knew you'd have the thoughts that you are having tonight, that you'd be going through the issues that you're bringing with you in here tonight. God is not surprised. But God is also not surprised about what he has for you in the future. Your neighbor doesn't know what your future holds. You probably don't even know what your future holds. But God also knows that. And God has a plan for you. And because he formed you from the womb, he knows you from when our bodies hit the grave, and hopefully we're with him in heaven. Amen? God has a plan. And he is not surprised by what we're doing. You know, this is important to understand this, because this is where a lot of people fall off. This is where a lot of people, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in church. A lot of my friends that I grew up in church with, they're not serving God anymore. Maybe a lot of you went to youth here at or another church, and you could probably count on a couple hands, maybe one hand, how many people are still serving God. Pastor Joseph and Pastor Luke both talked about that. A lot of people fall off here because they think, because of their sins, because of what they've done, because of the busted pipes in their life, because of the uh-oh moments that they saw, that they weren't worthy of God anymore, or that they didn't want to serve God anymore. This is where people fall off, to think that God is going to be surprised by what we have. But that's not the case. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So tonight, we just have to get that. We have to understand that, hey, after something happens, we got to pick up, we got to keep moving, because God has a plan. Maybe you're sitting here, I don't understand God's plan for me. I don't believe God has a plan for me. Whatever. I don't get it. Well, I'm telling you, God formed you on purpose. You were born on purpose. You're here on purpose. You're in this room tonight for a reason. There's no accidents with God. You didn't stumble across here. There's a reason for you here tonight. So let's not think that God can be surprised. Number two, God's plan remains. God's plan remains, regardless, like we said, that busted pipe, God's plan remains. Going back to the house crashers, so when they find this pipe, right, that's what we're talking about. They find this pipe, or they find the termite-infested the piece of wood that's the beam. You know, in this show, they don't say, oh my gosh, this is a TV show. They have sponsors, they have all these contractors there, they have people to pay, they have a TV show to make. You think they're going to let a busted pipe or a piece of wood gone wrong interfere their show? They're not going to let it mess with their paper, man. That's rule number one. Can't let it mess with my paper. I got to finish this show. So what do they do? All right, we got to figure out, okay, so this busted pipe here, what we're going to do is we're going to do here. Because, mind you, there's 3 days on House Crashers. Whether or not it takes 3 days, I don't know. I don't trust reality TV. But that's just me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything, Illuminati or anything like that. But I don't know if it really takes 3 days. But in these 3 days, this busted pipe here, they find a way to make it happen, because in the end, it always looks like the plan that we talked about. There is always that 10 shower head shower with Niagara falling on you at the end. And there's always like people surprised, oh my gosh, there's people crying. I love it when the people cry, like they get like this, oh my gosh, the shower is going to change their life. Like it's just like, oh my gosh, this revelation from God of the shower. Or like the master bedroom that now has this, and it's just, it's a trip, but it's cool to see. I mean, I'd probably cry too, why lie? But I'm gonna cry right now thinking about it. But it's a trip, because the plans still go the same. God's plan remains in our life. That's some good news right there. It's good news to know that, you know, I'm not saying there's no repercussions for our actions. That's not, I'd be lying to you. There's repercussions. We do something that, you know, there's repercussions for that. Maybe the plan that you originally had is not the plan that's going to work out. Maybe you wanted to, again, go to medical school, or you wanted to become a lawyer, or you wanted to be an artist or a musician, but your hand broke and it was never the same. Or a circumstance happened, or a repercussion of your action. Maybe you were drunk driving and you got arrested, and it just turned your life into a spiral that where you're at today is nowhere near where you thought you would be. There are consequences to our actions. That's the reality. But when I say God's plan remains, God still loves you the same. He still has a use for you. You don't disqualify yourself with your sins. God still has a plan. He can turn your life around. He can put you, he can use you he can use you in a way that is so awesome that you would have never thought you could be used. There's just an overwhelming amount of people that come to mind that they could have sat out. They could have checked out of life when they thought it didn't go their way. But they decided that they were going to turn it around. They decided that they were going to. Now, we see it all the time. You know, again, on the ESPN, you see the adversity, 30 on 30 or whatever it's called, where they have like the people who just did not take what life gave them. They took lemons, right, and they made some lemonade. Or maybe they made some strawberry lemonade, added some strawberries on it, made it better. Like, that's what they do. I mean, that's what we have to understand, that God's going to add the strawberries. You bring your natural lemonade, and God's going to make it strawberry lemonade. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to do our natural, and God will make it supernatural. That's for Pastor Joseph, because I know he loves strawberry lemonade. But it's just like, God, oh man. Okay, here we go. Joseph. Anyone know the story of Joseph? If ever in our life we could think that something happened to us that we didn't think was fair, that the plan that we had got derailed, and that we just have an excuse to not operate in the plan that we thought God had, let's look at Joseph, man. This guy is from a young boy, knew that God had awesome plans in his life. He was a favorite to his father. His father was very wealthy, and he would have dreams from God of how God was going to use him. He had a dream that he would be standing before his older brothers and his parents even, and they were going to bow before him. Now, this is a time when generations was a big deal. This is a time when it went to the older brother. This is when it went to the oldest brother, and to think that the younger brother was going to get it was, I mean, you get scraps, right? You get the older brother is the heir, and that's what it's about. Anybody watch Downton Abbey? Downton Abbey, anybody? No? Dang, that's not going to work then. Anyway, let me share with you a little bit about Downton Abbey. Just in a nutshell, because I don't want it to take forever. But Downton Abbey, great show, by the way. Downton Abbey is this post-Titanic story, right? Where the person, there's this manor, there's this abbey, there's this estate of these rich, wealthy people in England. And the heir to the estate died in the Titanic. And so now it's going to this person. And I don't really understand this part of the story, but for somehow, way or another, because this guy doesn't have a son, the person who's going to inherit it it's going to have to go to like the third cousin or something like that. And so this family that's owned and lived in this estate for the longest time, because the heir died, because there's no son, it's going to go to someone else. And there goes the story. And I'm just at the end of season one. But I'm still catching up. But what I wanted to use the illustration for was to understand that it was about the oldest boy. It was about the oldest. And so here goes Joseph, baby Joseph, talking his mess to his 11 older, bigger brothers. Like, you guys are going to bow down to me. Could you imagine? I mean, that's just a trip. But God, from a young age, had put this thing on Joseph. Like, man, you have a plan for your life. I'm giving you dreams. I'm giving you visions. You have something inside of you that is just amazing. And Joseph knew it. But guess what happened to Joseph? His brothers didn't like that. We know the story. His brothers didn't like that God was going to use him in his mighty way, that he was talking all these dreams, like, you guys are going to bow down to me. The brothers didn't like that. What did they do? Beat him up, threw him in a pit. What happened? He's in the pit. People pick him up. They take him off to slavery, to Egypt, and they make him a slave. Now, I don't think any of us in here have been beat up by our older brothers. We were talking mess, but we got beat up nonetheless. And taken off to another country and made a slave. Joseph could say, God, your plan is bunk, walking out of this one. This is not good for me. I don't want what you have. I'm a slave. I got beat up, almost put to death, and here I'm a slave. But guess what? God's plan still remained. Here goes Joseph. He worked his way up. God was on this guy's life, man. And he's working his way up. He makes it to number two in Potiphar's house. Let's pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 39. Everybody okay with me? Genesis chapter 39. God's plan remains. Chapter 39. We're going to start in verse number 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him, owned him as a slave from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph is being used of God. But guess what? Joseph is still a slave. Joseph is not how are people going to bow to him? He's still a slave. Yes, he has favor of the Lord, but he's patient. He understands God has a plan for his life. Not all of us are in the place where we want to be. Maybe we've gotten beat up before, but then we got picked up. Some good stuff happened to us, but we're still not there. Joseph is in. He's in the house. He's living in the house. He's running the house for Potiphar, but he's still a slave. But God's using him. God's blessing his hand. Maybe we're in that in-between mode. Maybe we're not in that disaster mode that we were talking about. Not everyone's there, but we're still in a place where we feel stuck. God's plan remains. Let's keep going in the story. So what happens next? Things are going good for Joseph. He's running the house. But guess what? No good. No more. Some trouble coming at him. Potiphar's wife likes Joseph. Trying to get at Joseph. Literally throwing herself at Joseph. And Joseph isn't putting up with it. He doesn't want Potiphar's wife's exploits. Now let's be real. Potiphar's wife is fine. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Potiphar's wife is fine. But it's Potiphar. He's rich and he's powerful. We know his wife was fine, right? His wife was fine. I mean, and she's literally throwing herself at Joseph, and Joseph said no. So we know God is on this guy's life. It's just by the fruits. It's by the fruits, man. We're just being honest, right? We could be honest in church. He turned down a fine girl. Anyway, so where are we at? Wife was fine, turned it down. So guess what? But she went crazy on him. She tried to act like she didn't get with him, like Joseph was trying to like throw himself on her, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's in prison. Joseph back in prison he didn't do anything to deserve this, but he's back in prison, in Egyptian prison, not cool with the Pharaoh. But God's hand is still on Joseph's life. God's plan remained. God's hand never left Joseph. Guys, when we're in our prisons, when we're in these areas, when we found busted pipes, God's hand is still on us. That's when we want to think that God is not with us, but God's hand is still on us. Let's look. Okay, so here's Joseph in the prison. The people know that he has the ability to interpret dreams. He interprets some people's dreams. People still betray him. There's this baker and this other guy that had him interpret dreams, and they said, oh, don't forget me when you go to Pharaoh. But he went to Pharaoh, and this guy got favor again, and he forgot. They forgot about Joseph still. So here's Joseph 2 years later, still in the prison. Still in the prison Joseph is. Until finally his day comes. He gets favor with Pharaoh again. He interprets a dream for Pharaoh and sees Egypt prosper. And he's promoted to the number two in Egypt this time. First he was number two to Pharaoh, or to Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's men. This guy, now he's number two to Pharaoh. Joseph is powerful, man. Joseph's hand was on him. He had a family. He had a wife. He had a couple kids. Joseph's hand was on him. He's blessed of God. But guess what? The story's not over yet. And this isn't even the end of the story. But last part we're going to look at tonight is chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse number 1, later in the story. So what has happened at this point? What reason he got favor with Pharaoh is because he interpreted a dream. He said there's going to be 7 years of great prosperity in the land. There's going to be an abundance of food, abundance of grain, and then there's going to be 7 bad years of famine, and people are going to be starving. So what we got to do is we got to store up in those 7 years, and so when we can make it through the hard years. So Pharaoh recognizes his wisdom and promotes him. So here he goes. His brothers, meanwhile, come back to find his brothers. Because of the famine in the land, they're having trouble where they're at. They're starving. They come to Egypt because they want to buy. They want to buy some food off of Egypt. So they, you know, Joseph is in charge of this area. So where we at in the story right now, we're going to see the brothers have to come back to Joseph. And guess what's going to happen? What was that dream that happened? They were going to bow down. So here we go. Chapter 45, verse number 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Now, time out. Can you guys play with me real quick? Again, we're talking about reality TV earlier. I watched a lot of TV, I know. It's been a little bit less. But in reality TV, you guys know how there's the shot, right? You know, it plays out. and then they do the testimonial of what that person thought about as it was playing out. So play with me for a second. Here goes Joseph telling his brothers, I am Joseph, your brother. And this is my envisionment of the testimonial of one of the brothers. We gonna die, right? Like, we're gonna die. Oh my gosh, this is Joseph. And this is the testimonial afterwards, like, I thought we were gonna die. Like, I thought he was gonna kill us because all the stuff that he did to Joseph. And here they are. Here's the brothers, and they're bowing. I just wanted you guys to play with me for a second because I really just tried. The Bible comes to life with me when I put it in real life context. Is that okay? I recommend that for you guys. You know, put it in real life context. Use the voices you want. Do all those cool things. That's just, the Bible's alive, right? Amen. The Bible's living. And so in 2013, the brother said, "We gonna die." We're going to die. Joseph is going to slit us because he had every right to, did he not? But God's plan remained. Here we go. Verse number 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. Now they really had to think they were going to die. He's going to slit them. Come closer so I can cut your head off. And please come near me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now verse number 5. This is where it hits. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Wow. Can anybody say wow? Amen. That's good. God's plan remained. God's plan comes full circle. God sent me before you. In other words, you did what you did so I could be standing here right now to make us live at this time. That just gives me chills. That this man, having been through everything that he had been through, can stand here and say, I know God's plan, can be secure in his plan. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you guys are here today in different parts, different stages, different areas of your life, but God's plan remains on your life. The dream that you had, the visions that you had for your life, the plans that you want, the goals and visions that you have, the things that you want in your life, your ambitions, they're not gone. Because of a busted pipe, because of a detour, because of your shortcomings. God's plan remains. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. God wants to take care of you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to love on you. All he asks in return is that we love him. God's plan remains, man. That is a testimony right there. Despite our life, despite what we feel, God's plan is there. Number 3. Last thing, really quickly, he's as big as we let him be. God is as big as we let him be. I don't know about you guys. There's been times in my life, excuse me, where you would think God is a little G God. You know, some people with small faith, really, they have a small God. I'm not trying to bash on anybody, but people with small faith, just, God is small to them. And that's not a knock against them, but maybe they just haven't had an encounter with God, or maybe they just, something in them doesn't allow them to see God in its full capacity. Because if we saw God in his full capacity, there's no reason why we would have small faith. God is as big as we're going to let him be. So my challenge to each and every one of us today is that we understand the size of God. That we have big dreams and big prayers, that we cry out to a big God. That our goals this year, that our resolutions, that our hopes can't be put in a box anymore. That we need a bigger box, that we need a whole room, that we need to go outside because our dreams are so big and God has so much for us that we need him to be big. Is that okay? I mean, there's no reason why this room should not be full. As young adults, in this generation, in this time. I mean, I know why this room isn't super full. I mean, the stats say it, right? They say numbers don't lie. I mean, our generation is a generation that every year they put out these new things that the Pew Research puts out. Less and less people are going to church regularly. Less and less people serve God. Less and less people consider themselves Christians. Our generation is choosing not to follow God. That's what the numbers say, at least. But how about if we, the people who are here, the people who set in their heart to say, I'm not going to let my generation do that. I'm not going to sit aside. I'm not going to let my family, I'm not going to let my friends, I'm not going to let my loved ones go to hell while I just sit and clap and come to church by myself. What if we were the, and I'm not angry, guys. I'm not angry. I'm just hyped. I get excited to think about the possibility. And this is for myself, too. What if I had a plan, if I had a vision, if I had faith of, and believed in a God so big that we wouldn't just need to move to the main sanctuary. We'd have to have a couple services on Friday night. Because our generation is going to choose to follow Jesus. Our generation is going to choose to be a generation that doesn't listen to the numbers, that takes where we're at and it wants to progress and move forward with God. We serve a mighty God. In Psalms 147:5, I'm just about to wrap up. This is the New Living Translation. How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. That's a big God. That's a big God. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's in the New King James. I like the Message version. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Guys, we've made our plans. All right, we've had plans. Hopefully we all have some kind of plan. You know, the question at our age group seems, what are you up to these days? You going to school? You studying? You working? You married? What are you doing? Some of us have, in some kind of capacity, thought through maybe at least the rest of the month, rest of the year, next 5 years, 5-year plan, right? I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to get a job. I want to go to school, whatever it might be. You have plans. We make plans, but God's grace, God gives us the ability to live it. How big are you going to let God be? This isn't just another message, guys. I really feel God really showed me through this message. I got so excited in studying this message. That this launch, you know, and I think this series is well timed because it's the beginning of a year. You know, again, we get that reset. You know, we get that reset every once in a while. We want a reset in life, press the reset button. We're at the beginning of a year. We can choose to start over, and we can make new plans. And God wants to see us through. Tonight we talked about, look at number one. We talked about there's no surprise in God. And we talked that God's plan never stops. And we talked about how God is only as big as we let him be. So tonight, from now on, let's live with a big God. A capital G God, a miracle working God. I've been wanting to share, you know, kind of the story of our house. And I think over the past couple years, when we started looking for a house, and the house that we finally got, the home price of what we bought, it doubled from what we were originally looking for, right, babe? The price range that we were originally looking for to where the price of the home that we ended up buying 3 years later, it doubled. Our incomes didn't double. Our faith doubled. I really believe that. I really believe that our ability to see God able to provide doubled. He gave us better stewardship. See, the good thing with God, when we believe for something big, all the things that we need to be able to have that thing big line up. You know, our learning how to steward, learning how to budget, what we can cut here, what we can cut there. You know, always think the big picture, like, oh my gosh, God, give me this. But when, to get there, you're going to need this step and that step and this step and that step. And God's going to show you, take you through those steps to be able to take you to that big step. Now there was so many hurdles in buying a house. I'm sure you talk to anybody that buys a house or has bought a house, and there's some hurdles. At one point, you know, last year, I had a new supervisor, and my job schedule changed. I was working Sunday through Thursday, and had Friday and Saturday off, and then I switched to Monday through Friday. Well, on that Friday, when I had Sunday through Thursday, I was working as a substitute for the San Bernardino City School District. And I was making extra money. You know, I would work that extra day, and I would get paid as a substitute. And so that was money that we could bank on, that we could put in our budget as things that we bought. And so we're saving, we're buying this house, we're believing for a house. And then my work hours change. I didn't get a raise, but my work hours change. So now it's kind of like a pay cut, right? Not only I have to get childcare for this extra day that I'm coming to work, and then I'm not getting the same income that I had because I was working an extra day. Like, God, how are you going to do this? Like, how does that work, right? Like, God, I'm believing for a house. And this is a step back, right? Some of you guys are believing for awesome things, and then steps back happen. Well, it so happened that in the loan that we got this this loan that it was a down payment assistance program. And now we made the cutoff as a cutoff for income levels and so forth, you know, given the size of your family and your income. And we made the cutoff by a matter of a few hundred dollars. Now, had I kept that job and kept working, I would not have qualified for that loan. So full circle, God's plan remained when I didn't understand, when we were mad, like, how can they change my schedule? They didn't even give me a raise. I can't do this. I'm not going to make it. I'm trying to save for a house. What the heck is going on, God? How is this your plan? Well, the full circle, God's plan doesn't stop. So that's a testimony that just shows how big God is. Amen. Everybody good tonight? If you guys got something from God, give them a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Man.